Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome to Sorita House of Worship. It's May 10th. Happy Mother's Day to all you moms that are out there. Come on, we'll give a hand to the moms that are in the house and all of you out there that are listening. Praise God. I'm going to go right into the Word of God. And if you wouldn't open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 28 was the first we're going to read. We're going to talk about Hannah. Today is Mother's Day, so we're going to talk about moms and more. There's more to what God is trying to do in the earth today, and I believe that God is trying to build His people and strengthen them. And this time that we're in is an incredible time that God has ordained for us, and I believe that we're going to find some things that God has for us, each and every one of us. So if you're at 1 Samuel chapter 1, the Word of God starts out with, "Now and there was a certain man of Ramath Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, and an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice under the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters portions. But to Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah her husband said to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. And now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto me unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. It's kind of a strange request, but this woman was in great distress, if you will. She wanted a child. She wanted a child so badly because it was kind of in her generation, and in that time, it wasn't looked on very well for a woman to be barren. It was almost shameful to the ladies because they could not have any children for their husband. So she wanted a child. She desired it more than anything. And what I love about Hannah, she made the decision to go after it. She made the decision to pray unto God and to seek God for this child. Isn't it crazy how when you're desiring something or you have a need of something, isn't it crazy how a lot of times there's an enemy out there that will begin to work on you and say, well, maybe you can't get it, or you know what, you know, or whatever those things are there. There seems to come an enemy, and maybe Peninnah was bothering her so much. Oh, well, you can't have kids, la, la, la. I can have kids. And, you know, aren't you ashamed of not being able to have kids? Well, maybe she wasn't that bad. Maybe it was just Hannah's own heart saying these things to her. Because, you know, how many of you know that we speak things to ourselves? We're hard on ourselves. And so it looks like Hannah has come to a point where she says, I'm not eating. I can't eat. I am grieved. I'm grieved over this thing because I can't have a child. Her husband tried to cheer her up and say, hey, aren't I better to you than 10 sons? And I'm sure he was, because the Bible says that he loved her greatly. And all that love that was going on would not satisfy what was going on in Hannah's heart. And I believe that God brings all of us to a place like that, where there's something that's within us that needs to be satisfied. And the only thing that can satisfy it is the Lord himself. And so Hannah's in this place and she's fasting. She's having a time of not eating. I'm not eating. Her husband asks her, why aren't you eating? She can't eat. She's so involved that she's all, so, her spirit is grieving so, because she wants a child. And believe it or not, I believe this was the Lord. How many believe that? I believe that God was orchestrating something. See, God needed a prophet. He needed a man of God. You know, they had just gone through all these years of judges. Israel had all these judges, but God is moving in. There's a new era coming in. How many know this? God has new things all the time. There's always new things. There is an era beginning to come in to the nation of Israel, and it's called the era of the kings. The kings were when you read the scriptures, you read about all the kings that Israel had. These are great instructions for us. All these kings, what they did, what they didn't do, what they did right, what they did wrong. All these things. God was entering Israel into an era. And God needed a prophet. Amen. And God found a woman, and her name was Hannah. And let me just say this. Hannah's name, the name Hannah is actually Channah. It looks like China, but the C is silent, so it's actually Hannah. Hannah. It was her name. It means favored. It also means bend in kindness, to an inferior. It means give and grant graciously. It comes from a root word that's chen, C-H-E-N. It comes from a root word which means grace. Her name was actually Grace. That was her name. I was talking to a young man that he was a youth pastor. Well, he helped in the youth at First Assembly. And his girls, one was named Hannah and the other one was named Grace. And I told him, hey, you know that? You know what? Let me show you something in Scripture. You call your, they're both Grace. They're both Hannah. He goes, what? Yeah. He goes, man, I didn't know that. I said, well, don't worry about it, man. It's okay. One is Hannah, one is Grace, but same word, same grace in the New Testament or, you know, Hannah in the New Testament is actually said without the C. It actually comes out Anna. Anna is that word of Hannah, which is actually grace. So it's pretty cool. And so anyway, so this is, her husband is, man, I mean, you can't, he goes, can't I give you something? I mean, he goes, aren't I better to you than 10 sons, Hannah? And she didn't answer, but she still didn't eat when they sat to eat. She didn't drink when they sat to drink. She just, after they were finished eating, she got up and she went out to the temple. And it says that it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought that she had been drunken. Here she is pouring out her heart before the Lord, and the priest is looking at her, and the priest now is making a judgment on her. He says, man, hey, come on, man. I mean, you know, he knew that they were in there eating. He knew that they were having a feast, and he looks at her, and he says, now, hey, he tells her this, put away your drinks, he says. Eli said to her, how long will you be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I poured out my soul before the Lord. Hallelujah. Pouring out your soul before the Lord. How many of you ever poured out your soul before the Lord? Do you know it's a good thing to pour out your soul? It is something that comes from deep within. I remember at a time when I was just saved. I hadn't been saved very long. And there was a song came on the radio. I was in the kitchen. I can still remember. I can still see it. And a song by Dallas Holm came out. And the song was called Rise Again. And in the song, it goes, go ahead, drive the nails in my hand. Go ahead, you know, look at me where you stand. And he says, but I'll rise again. And when I was hearing this song, something rolled up within me. And I began to weep. And I wept. And I wept. And I wept. My knees got weak, so I sat on the floor of the kitchen and I was weeping and weeping and weeping. I remember it so clearly, thinking, what am I crying about? What am I crying about? And the fact of the matter is, my soul was reaching out for God for something that I didn't even understand. I remember up at First Assembly, my pastor had some spurs in his heels. And I remember telling him, I said, man, going up to him, pastor, I believe God wants me to pray for your feet. He says, okay. He says, yeah, go ahead, man. And he said, so let's pray. So, I mean, I didn't hold anybody's hands. I went right down and grabbed his feet. And I began to pray. And that same thing happened. And I'm thinking, they're going to think I'm weird. But yet I'm here. I mean, I looked down. His shoes were actually wet from the tears that were coming. And so there was, I understand what Hannah was going through here. There was a time where all of a sudden her soul began to cry out. It almost disconnects the mind and the soul says, I need you, God. I need you. I need you so much. Praise God. Hallelujah. I am a woman, she said, of a sorrowful spirit. I have drank neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace. and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition which thou hast asked. Eli realizes, man, she's pouring out. And I know, and Eli as a priest should know, and when a man or a woman, you know, when you seek the Lord and you seek him with your whole heart, the word of God says, you'll find me. There's folks that are trying to, I never hear God. Well, you need to seek him with your whole heart. Because I guarantee you, if you seek him with your whole heart, you will find him. And I think Eli realized that, and he said, you know what, go in peace now. He says, the Lord grant your petition that you have asked of him. And she said, let yet thy handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way, and then she ate. And her countenance was no more sad. Amen. Can I tell you, there's something about finding the presence of God and finding that place where you pour out, that when you get up, it's almost like, yeah, it's done. I know within myself that God has heard me. How many know that? You know, how many know that God hears you anyway? He knows you all. He hears all your prayers. But there is a connection that's made in this deep crying out of the soul. There really is. And so she walked away, man, I'm good. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, that after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said to her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord. And I like the past part she says, and abide there forever. The word of God tells us that we are to keep our vow. Is that right? When you make a vow before the Lord, make sure you keep it. And so here Hannah is a man. She's Mother's Day, amen? She's a mom now, and she's got this child. How many, I would have a hard time releasing my son into something like that. She's going to raise him till she had weaned him. And I'm not sure the year of weaning, how old that, I've heard it could be all the way up to 9 or 10. But she would nurse him till he was weaned, and then she took him to give him to the house of the Lord. I think how hard it would be. And then again, I remember when my son was just out of high school, had just started college, and the Lord gave Rosie and I, one morning, we both got up, and the Lord was giving us scripture after scripture after scripture, and Rosie began to cry, and she said, God's gonna take him and use him. God's gonna take him, and we both know it. And the release of my son into that was at first, it was, God, I've gotta trust you in this. He don't know what he's doing. He's still young, amen? I mean, your kids are, I don't know. Can you imagine her releasing her son into the hands of the priests of the temple? Had to be hard, but yet she said, you know what? I'm gonna fulfill my vow. This is what I said. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems good to thee. Tarry until you have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. I love that. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bullocks and an ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew the bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Man, I love this. I love this. That Hannah, when she presented her son to Eli, she goes, here he is. I asked for him. And now he's weaned, I'm giving him to you for the house of the Lord. Difficult for me. I said, come on, man. That's hard, man. She didn't live where Shiloh was. They lived in Ramah. It was about 8 miles to Ramah from her house. So here her son is in Shiloh with the priests. But after she had given him, after she had taken him and said, here, I'm giving him to the Lord. Here's her, she has this prayer, and it's starting in chapter 2. It says, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. And I don't think, because Hannah was a woman of grace, if you will, I don't believe that Hannah was rejoicing over her victory over Peninnah, which might have been saying thing. I really believe that she was rejoicing over those inner enemies that were coming against her to attack her personally, because we will do that to ourselves. And plus there was an enemy out there that would do that and say, speak to her and say, you're not worth it. You know, he ought to just get rid of you, whatever. And she says, now my mouth is enlarged over my enemies. Now my mouth can speak. Hey, God has done a great thing for me. It says, there is none as holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. A lot of times I've heard people say that she was speaking, especially to Peninnah, at that scripture which says, don't talk more anymore so proudly and arrogantly. Don't be talking like that anymore. I believe she's talking to all of us. I believe the word of God is coming out to all of us. I believe this woman is prophesying. She says, talk no more exceeding proudly, not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, he knows, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry have ceased. So that the barren has borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. How many kids does she have at this time? 1. She didn't have 7, she had 1. I believe she was prophesying. She was just speaking out the things. This is what happens when with things with the Lord. It says, and the Lord killeth and maketh alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. Amen? How many know that? That he brings down to the grave and he brings up. Do you know that? Do you know that? What's that called? Resurrection. It's resurrection. He brings down to the grave and he brings them up. Come on, man. And I will tell you, that's what he does in our lives. We die at the cross and he raises us up in new life. And that comes in spurts. In spurts, he transforms you every time he gives you something new. It's a transformation of your spirit. He is quickening you by his spirit every time you see something new in the word of God, every time you see something that's fresh, every time he's speaking into your heart, he's resurrecting you into new life, into the kingdom of God, which is cool. Hallelujah. He bringeth up. And then the Lord makes poor and maketh rich. Amen. He brings low and lifts up. He raises up the poor out of the dust, lifts up the beggar from the dunghill. That was me. I was in a dunghill, man. I couldn't get out. Budweiser had me by the feet, by the legs, by the head. I was in a dunghill, and he took me up and pulled me out to set me among princes. To set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. I love this woman's prayer. I love it. He will keep the feet of his saints. Amen? Everybody look at your feet. Come on, he will keep your feet. Hallelujah. The wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. Amen. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. Is that correct? Amen. She's still prophesying. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Amen. How many are anointed? Can I tell you, I really raise your hand. Everybody in this house should be raising their hand. Yeah, you're anointed. If Jesus is in your life, he's the anointed one. Therefore, if he's in your life, you are the anointed. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo, man. Elkanah went to Ramah and to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Praise God. I want to just jump real quick down to verse 18. So Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat, how cute, and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Verse 20 says, and Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Isn't that cool? The gift that you give, God will multiply the gift. Amen? God is a giving God. He always has been, always will be. So any gift that you give, he's going to multiply the gift. He's going to add to it. And Hannah and Elkanah found out that the Lord is very gracious to them that love him. Amen? Hallelujah. I'd like to go to Psalm 62, verses 1 through 8. And here is a psalm that I just, man, this last full week, I've been reading a psalm almost every day. Well, I won't say almost every day. I'm reading it every day and plus maybe a couple times a day. So I got a lot to say in this psalm. I've got a lot. And I hope you don't mind leaving here when it's dark. It'd be okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. Psalm 62 says, truly my soul waits upon God. Amen. From him. Amen. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my what? Defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall you be, as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. And I want to just kind of address this. I mean, you know, I love the Lord, and you know, it's funny how people that love God and are trying to do their best, can I tell you, sometimes people around them or people that don't even know them will begin to speak things about them or to them. Rebecca was talking to me the other day just how she's seen there's been an attack on certain churches, and it's crazy. Even Christians will hurt Christians. Isn't that crazy? Christians will go after Christians and say things, and you know what? And the Word of God tells us, man, we are not to judge His servants. How many know that? That He is the judge. Who are you to judge? This is what the Word of God says in Romans. Who are you to judge another man's servant? We can't be doing that. We just can't. And the fact of the matter is, we are to honor all men, is what the Word of God says. Amen? Honor all men. And whatsoever you do, do it with all your heart, who? Before the Lord. Is that right? Whatever you do. So there are those today in our world today that are coming against the church. And what's crazy about it is not even the ungodly. It is people that claim to be Christians. And I find that so interesting, if you will, because I do believe that we are in a time where God is, you're over here and you're over here. There is a separation beginning to happen because of what God is doing in the earth today. And I believe it's happening. And I can see it and I can hear it. When my daughter was telling me about this, I got sad about it, but at the same time I said, man, God's separating the sheep. I know He is. There's a separation going on. A lot of folks think that that's only going to happen when He's back. But I'm going to tell you something. He's back now. He's in you. He's here now. There's a time that we need to realize that Christ is on the earth. He's here. We are what the Word of God calls the body of Christ. If you think about that statement, we are the body of Christ. Guess who's here on the earth? We are. Jesus is the body of Christ. He's here via the Holy Ghost that's within us. Isn't that right? Praise God. So we got to really think about some of these things that we're hearing. Verse 5 says this, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. How many times has he said that in the scripture? He is my defense. I don't have to worry about defending myself. How many know that? How many defend yourself anymore? Yeah, you get to a point where you say, man, I'm not even gonna defend myself. He's my defense. And that's why Rebecca was telling me that some of these churches, they don't even respond to some of the things that are being said. They say nothing. People keep going, saying stuff and really trying to hurt this ministries. And yet the ministries don't respond. Why? Because God is a defense. He is their defense. And I love that. He says this, I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Amen. My refuge. How many of your refuge is in God? There's only one place to be. It's in God. That's the only place. I will say it and I'll say it again. Because sometimes maybe folks hear it, but they don't hear what we're saying. That you are not from here. You are of the kingdom of God. You are on the earth and you're not from here. The world cannot influence you. The world cannot affect you and the world cannot infect you because you are the kingdom of God on the earth. And Jesus said, pray it this way, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, there is no such thing as a flu. There is no such thing as cancer in heaven. There is no such thing as coronavirus. Hallelujah. It's something that we have to see and know. It is a mindset that we have to walk in. It's a spiritual mindset that we are the kingdom of God on earth. Whew. Come on, man. Hallelujah. He is my defense. He is my refuge. Trust in him at all times, the Bible says right here, verse 8. O ye people, pour out your heart before him, because God is a refuge. And then he says, Selah. How many like that word, Selah? Selah. It means think about this. It says meditate on this thing. It says eat this. Let it roll within you. Continue to think about what I've just said. God is a refuge. And he says to pour out your heart before him. One of the scriptures that I pouring out your heart before him is like what Hannah did. She poured her heart out before him and you saw how God responded, how the response from God came to Hannah. It's a beautiful thing. But I want you to look at verse 5. It says, wait thou, my soul, he's talking to his own soul. It says, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from him. My expectation. Wait on God. He's telling himself, wait on God. Do you ever tell yourself, wait on God? It's good that you do that. You know what? I'm going to wait on God. Wait on God. Hey, dummy. I'm talking to myself. Hey, dummy. Wait on God. I'm going to wait on God. I know that if God knows that you will wait for him, he'll be there to show you. If you will wait. But if you're one of these that says, you know what? I can't wait anymore. I'm just going to go. I'm going to buy this truck. I'm going to buy that house. I'm going to buy that car. Whatever. You're one of those that do that. You know what? God's going to say, yeah, okay. I like what Kenneth Copeland did. He bought an airplane. He was saying, Lord, I need an airplane. First airplane that came to him, he said, this must be the Lord. He bought it. 2 months later, it broke down on him. And he's crying out to God. He says, God, your plane is busted. And the Lord said to me, that's your plane. I didn't tell you to buy that plane. He learned a lesson. Can I tell you that it's important that we wait on God? Be a person that waits, because your life is already set. Your life is already in a place where God says, I'm leading and I'm guiding. Just let me take you there. Watch, I'll take you. It's called resting in the Lord. That's what it's called. Rest, let him do that. Hallelujah. Wait, my soul, wait only upon God, for my expectation is from him. I looked at that word, expectation, and it's an odd word. My expectation is of the Lord. And when I looked it up, I go, I must have got the number wrong. Because the word expectation, I don't know if sure I ever wrote it down. Yeah. The word expectation is tikva. Look at your neighbor and say tikva. Tikva, 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 tikva. Like a clock. Just kidding, never mind. Tikva. That's the word tikva, T-I-Q-V-A-H. And here's what it means, a chord. A chord. There's that. A chord. As if an attachment is what it says. A chord. I looked at that, I said, God, my expectation was different. I didn't expect it to be a chord. Then I remembered something. I forgot to wear my band. Yes, my wife has got hers on. And at my son's church, they're giving us these bands, and it says, Calling on Heaven 24-7. Pulling on Heaven 24-7. And in that pulling, he pulls out this rope, and he gets it over his shoulder, and he says, man, this is what, we're pulling the kingdom into the earth. We're pulling the kingdom into the earth. And I was talking to Jonathan last night. I said, has he ever explained any scriptures about the rope or anything? He goes, no, man. So I shared them. I'm about to share with you. And he goes, nah, Dad, that's crazy, man. I'm going to talk to him about it, man. Because the expectation is actually a chord. Boom, boom, boom. It's cool. I worked at the mine. Pat worked at the mine. John worked at the mine. Pat, did you guys use cables, metal cables, to pick up stuff? They call them chokers or slings, if you will. They are actually a steel rope, and Steve, you know about these. There's a bunch of pieces to it, and in that rope, like this one, you can see they're kind of woven together. I don't know if you guys can see that from here, but a rope generally has rope. It's just not one strand. It's like many strands. This one looks like it's about five strands. I'm not sure, but. A metal sling, a choker, they are actually a mechanical device. That's what they are. The more strain you put on them, the more those individual strands begin to work together to make that thing incredibly strong. That's why you'll see a rope has a lot of strands. Isn't the scripture, I think, in Ecclesiastes, what does the word say? Can you bring that? It says, the one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. That's the word of God. And it talks about these strands and this cord that God has placed within our lives as a source of expectation, if you will. How strong is that cord in your life? Can I tell you, the more word of God that you get in you, the more you're going to find that cord gets stronger and stronger, because it brings expectation. It brings expectation into your life. Expectation for healing, expectation the ability to do the things that God has for you to do. The expectation, hallelujah, for knowing, for the expectation folks that need healing, this cord becomes stronger and stronger. And that's the literal meaning. It means a cord as an attachment. Figuratively, it means expectancy, expectation, expected hope, live or live. That one right there, I'm not sure of. I'm still asking, what's that, Lord? Tell me what that is. I need to know what that means. This is in that word, live or live. And then it says, thing that I long for. It is derived from another word of kavah. It's Q-A-V-A-H, which means to bind together as if by twisting like these. It says, in other words, to collect. To collect. This is the word expectation. It's to collect. And so collecting the word of God brings this expectation cord, if you will, into your life, into something that's strong, and it begins to pull on heaven. When you begin to pray and allow your spirit to pour out to God. Expectation. A cord, if you will. That's cool, huh? Well, talking about Hannah, and I want to also come to Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 22. I also want to talk about Anna, the Anna in the New Testament. And I want you to see something because of what God is doing. And it's so important that we understand that God has removed the law and sin of death and the law of sin and death from the believer. Do you know that? Are you comfortable with that? Some folks aren't comfortable not knowing exactly what I'm saying, but I will tell you that the word of God in Romans chapter 8, verse 2 says, the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So for years, we have mixed the law of sin and death with the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So we are actually expecting everything that's in the law and sin and death to be still operating in our lives, and we need to stop doing that. We need to quit that because that's not where God's taking us. God is moving us into the things, if you will, the mysteries of his kingdom. And it's important that you as a believer listen to these mysteries, listen to what's being said, listen to what's being preached, and go to the word of God and check it. And ask God, God, is this correct? Because I will tell you, you need to be a person that does that. Because you will find that these mysteries will begin to come to you. You'll begin to see that these mysteries are the things that have been hidden from the foundation of the world. The prophets and all the old, like it says in the word, they desired to see these things, but never saw them because the Holy Spirit brings the mysteries. The Holy Spirit opens these doors. And so, and it's crazy and it's cool. There are mysteries that are being revealed today. The church is beginning to receive them in some places. And I believe, and it is because of these mysteries that there is this major push against those churches. But I will tell you something. It is, like I will say, it is, and I have said, that it is a separation. It really is a separation. So, As a man or woman of God, you need to be checking these mysteries. You need to be checking what I'm saying. You need to be checking what those around you are saying. You need to be checking what that boy on your TV is saying or that woman on your TV is saying. You need to check what they're saying and don't just go along with it. Allow God to show you. Allow God to bring these. That is what a mature Christian will do. Mature, one that has his senses trained to discern good and evil because he goes to the word and he checks. Woo, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So here in Luke chapter 2 is something new that's happening. I love it. And we're going to start at verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising, this is about Jesus. He said, when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel, which before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord. Here they were doing what they were required in the law. And like I said before, like I just got through saying, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, Romans 8, 2, has made us free from the law of sin and death. So here they're doing what the law required jumping down to verse 25 says, behold, there was an old man. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devoted, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. I want to bring that word expectation to you again. He had a cord that he was walking with. He was walking with a cord, and that cord said, you will not die, Simeon, till you see the Lord's Christ, till you see him. And so Simeon's walking in that, he heard the Spirit saying, notice that the Holy Spirit was upon him, it wasn't within, it was upon him. And he heard him say that to him. I love this. I love this old guy. I don't know who he is, except his name is Simeon. Never met him. I wonder if he was bald. I wonder if he's grunulo. I don't know. But I want to meet him. I want to talk to him. And I can't wait to see him. It says this. It was revealed to him that by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit to the temple. Notice the Spirit brought him to the temple that morning, that particular morning. Why? Because of the promise. Amen? It's all it is. It's a promise. God's, and he had a cord he was walking by. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation. His cord came in. My eyes have seen thy salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And I didn't put this up, did I? I'm sorry. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that thy thoughts of, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. That sword that pierced was the death of, on the cross. So that the hearts of so that the thoughts of many hearts might be revealed. And there was one, and here's the other one. Here is Anna, which her name, and if it was spoken in the Hebrew, would be Hannah with a C. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Peniel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and she had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Here's this woman in the temple. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise to the Lord and spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. I want you to know I love to look at this way. I see in Simeon the law, and I see in Anna the life of the Spirit in Christ Jesus. In other words, the life of grace. Grace. Her name is Grace. I like what Simeon says. Now I can what? Depart. See, God was removing the law and moving us into grace. And look at what Anna did after she saw Christ. It says that she spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. You see, Israel was a name given to Jacob, who was also a grandson of Abraham. To all those that look for redemption in Israel, if you're looking for redemption and you see Jesus, then you are a son of Abraham. And it all fits together that God's work in you, hallelujah, it's a work of grace. I love the definition of the word grace, and it says, I love this part of the definition because there's many definitions, and one thing that, you know, it can be many things to many people, but in my life personally, this is what I love about the definition of grace. It is divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. That's the Holy Spirit, folks. His name is the Spirit of Grace. It's divine influence that comes onto a man that is in alcohol and can't find a place, but it's divine influence that comes to him and removes that thing from him. That's what grace is. The Word of God says you're saved by grace. That's the Holy Ghost. He comes to, you can't come to, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Holy Spirit draw him. No man can come to thy Father except the Holy Spirit draws him. That's the thing. It's grace. It's grace. We're pulled by a cord. You see, God has a cord of promises to you. Isn't it something? We're talking about Mother's Day. Isn't it something how a infant within her mom is nourished by what? A cord. Isn't it funny we call it, you're expecting. Yeah, why? There's an expectation. Why? Because it's a cord. Because it is a nourishment that comes from the mom to the child. Woo, hallelujah. And God has a cord in your life. It is the word of God. It's his promises. If you will take a hold of his promises, you will find that that cord is very much something that will pull you to where you need to go. Woo. And now, with looking at it that way, if you look at the scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, it kind of places a different kind of flavor into it. For I know the thoughts that I think of you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. This is to give you an what? An expected end. To give you an expected end. God is placing his promises upon you individually. Every one of us has got all these promises that God is lining up for us. The more we believe in him, the more we believe him, they strengthen that cord. That cord gets super big, man. How's the cord in your life? Are you collecting to strengthen that cord, or are you just not even paying attention to the word of God? I will tell you, today is a day where pay attention to what God's saying to you. Because he is speaking to you. He does call upon you to hear him. So with that, that's my sermon this morning. So I want to thank you this morning for listening to the podcast of Sarita House of Worship. I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for each and every person that's listening this morning, Lord. Holy Spirit, bring them in. Cause them to hear like they've never heard you before, Father. Cause them to know that you are calling them to know you. You are reaching out to them so they might receive your Son. So thank you for that, Father, Holy Spirit. And to those of you that know the Lord, those of you that hear him, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would cause them to hear more and more. Father, as shepherds here, we can only bring the flock to a place to eat. But the eating is up to them. And the drinking is up to them. So, Holy Spirit, help them to eat on the things that they've heard. Reveal yourself to them. I thank you for it. Strengthen the body of Christ in the earth, Father. In Jesus' name I pray this morning. And I say amen and amen. So be it. In Jesus' name. Thank you for tuning into Sarita House of Worship.
Thank you for listening today. Look for our new podcast, Showtime, this coming Wednesday. In the meantime, you can get updates and further information about our church at welcometotheshow.org. Until next time, God bless.